This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hello and welcome to Smart TV. I'm Kellyanne Taylor and I'm in the studio with our delightful resident columnist, Caroline Frost.
Hello, Kellyanne.
We have a lovely week of television, lots of live entertainment to enjoy. We're going to kick off with the Oscars, which is on Sunday, 10:15 p.m, very late, ITV1. I'm going to throw it back to Smart TV episode, which was called 2024 BAFTA Special, where we do a rundown of a lot of the films that are doing the rounds at the award seasons and are available to watch now. Worth going back and giving that a listen if you want to brush up on who's going to be there, what are the films to watch out for, and where you can find those.
You know what that is? Helpful.
It's helpful. It's a helpful guide. Some would say we do a brilliant job at helping people find.
Okay, let's not go crazy. Perhaps a few. I consider what you've just said helpful.
But since we did that, you've seen American Fiction, which is up for an award. So what do you think of that?
I think that that is the one to beat for Best Original Screenplay. Okay. Jeffrey Wright plays a writer and he comes up with this cunning plan. He's not having much success writing bestsellers, and he comes up with a kind of cliched book which he despises because he's a self-respecting academic. Goodness me, I feel his pain. And he writes a book which, guess what,
does really well.
It's funny, it's satirical. You have to keep on your marks to keep up with the twists and the turns. I really enjoyed it, and it's very sympathetic to lots of different issues. It's quite a few. I said afterwards, this could be three different films in one because there are so many different issues that it explores. But I think anybody who takes a turn to the cinema to seek that out will find themselves thoroughly rewarded. So that's my tip for best screenplay. But I did also do my homework on your recommendation and I saw Oppenheimer last week as well. My goodness.
Did you enjoy it?
Spectacular. I watched it on a TV screen about 4 inches by 2, which probably wasn't the most expansive. I didn't think it really fulfilled its dramatic, visionary, light-riddled, psychedelic potential, but I certainly got to grips with the story on a screen of that postage stamp size.
What about you?
Yeah. What's your tip?
Well, I think Oppenheimer is probably going to clean up. We've seen all the awards thus far that it's done incredibly well.
Yeah.
So that's the one that I'm putting my money on.
Hang on, that
no
was me.
No surprise there.
It's the same.
Unfortunately, there's not that many others to pick from when you look at who's won.
What about your favourite, Barbie?
Yeah, but it's not what I want, Caroline. Okay. It's what I think will happen.
All right. Okay, good. All right, so that's the Oscars, which you can apparently tune in for. This is a bit of a turn up for the books. Sunday evening, 10:15 p.m. on ITV1.
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about? They're always on Sky overnight.
It's free to view. Who knows?
Gosh, that's a turn up for the books, isn't it? We've lost all that tennis, but we get the red carpet from the Oscars, all the important stuff. Excellent. Right, what have I got for you? Something far more. If you consider that your pudding, I would call this magreens.
Ooh.
I mean, something which will nurture our intellects and hopefully our spirits. So this is Darren McGarvey. Now, people may remember him for several reasons. He delivered the most amazing wreath lecture last Christmas, really about our position in society and what we are owed by society, but what we must give back in return. I found it inspiring, moving, very provocative. He's Scottish. He's a prominent poverty campaigner. He appears quite regularly on Start the Week, Question Time. He wrote a best-selling book back in 2018 called Poverty Safari, which won the Orwell Prize. So he really does walk the walk. And this is his first network documentary series, three-parter, called The State We're In. And he goes and talks to people. He is a self-professed working-class man who likes to talk to people from the communities that he has grown up in. He's had quite a hard life. He's done incredibly well to get to this point. I do urge people to seek him out and research his background. And it's I mean, it's a tough watch, not because there's anything gruesome in it, but just because it leaves you thinking, well, how do we fix this? But at least somebody is looking at the problems and talking about what best to do. So that kicks off on Thursday evening, 9 p.m. BBC Two. Darren McCarvey, I mean, watch him now because he will become a rising star, I think. He's only just beginning.
So is it an exploration of poverty, or it's set in the UK? Or
yeah, it's around all the UK. It's our justice system. It's our health system. It's our education system. I mean, nobody would claim that any of these systems are perfect, but he really goes into the weeds. And of course, he does come up with the probably not surprising verdict that a lot of it is to do with resources, class, access, and education.
Does he give us his take on a solution or an answer, or is it more an exploration?
Sort of. He does enough. I mean, I think we know where his heart is. I don't think he's going to be sitting down to have pints of beer with Boris Johnson, Nigel Farage, David Cameron anytime soon. But one of the things he has said is that he will not be pinned to who he's going to vote for the next election, because I think he's realising that as he delves deeper into the documentary side of things, and he obviously wants to be embraced by the BBC to get a big audience and a big sort of congregation. And I think, like Chris Packham, he's realised that that's going to be a bit of a tightrope to walk between activism and communicating with masses and masses of people through television.
Oh, OK, that's really interesting. I'm going to give that one a go. I have for you next Friday the return of, some would say, the charity event of the year. I always loved it growing up, and it's a soft spot for me. It's one that I like to watch again with the family if I'm at home. It's Comic Relief, Funny for Money. It starts 7 p.m. BBC One, and this is the last year that Lenny Henry is going to be hosting.
Okay, swan song. Why so? What's the thinking? He's just had enough. He's done enough.
I think he's 39 years. I almost thought, could you not wait another year just to make it that nice magic round 40?
Come on.
But no, there's going to be, and I'm actually really looking forward to this, there's going to be at 10:40 a programme called Comic Relief, A Whole Lot of Lenny, which will see him and Alex Jones look back on the 39 years worth of fundraising. Lots of classic moments, nostalgic nuggets. I remember this being like an absolute water cooler moment when I was at school. It was very much everyone going on to see who was sending themselves up, how they get access to those names. Well, actually, I always wondered how. And then I sat down with Richard Curtis. That's right, my
God. Hello.
And spoke all about how he gets people involved. Absolutely shameless. And the reason I'm telling you that, dear listener, is not to boast of my successful trail of interviews.
Not
that I've
only
done,
to boast.
But it's also because you can listen to that episode and Richard Curtis talking about starting Comic Relief, how they keep it going, how they get people involved on the Radio Times podcast. All you have to do is type in Richard Curtis, Radio Times podcast, and it will come up. Or, if you've got the patience, scroll back through the Radio Times podcast feed.
I recommend hitting the search term and writing Richard Curtis in myself. Right, what else do you have for us?
This is something that I'm sure you can hear at home. I'm absolutely beaming about. Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, is coming to Disney Plus on Friday. Now, I personally believe that the world is running out of records for Taylor Swift to hit. And this tour sold out in the UK in seconds. You had to pre-register for months in advance. You had but minutes to try and get in, book your ticket. Some would say it was a little bit like Glastonbury. Well, actually, I got tickets to Glastonbury this year.
That's the difference.
So easier.
How long is Taylor Swift?
So on stage for over 3.5 hours, not quite Killers of the Flower Moon.
Nothing is Killers of the Flower Moon.
She's going to be doing 44 songs in a gig that spans 10 of her albums. So this is, when she says the Eras Tour, it's because it covers every era. I mean, how old could she be? 32? 10 albums?
Stunning.
And from the outside, you know, I didn't get tickets to the tour, so I won't be going in real life. This is the closest I'm going to get. And I think for a lot of people, I think this is family friendly. I think it will be incredible. There's going to be beautiful costumes, beautiful set, lots of dancing, great music. Come for Taylor, but stay for the performance.
By Taylor.
By Taylor.
It's the same.
And everyone.
Okay.
Performance is much more than just singing. That is set, design, costume, dances.
I see where you're coming from.
Stay for the spectacle.
There we go. There we go. Lovely. All right. Well, I can match that. No, I can't. I've got instead something from yesteryear. So this is on Prime Video. This is hilarious. This is a double bill. We have Jennifer Lopez, colon, This Is Me Now, A Love Story. This is Jennifer, or should I say J-Lo's, gesture to her once found, lost and found again great love, Ben Affleck. So we've had David and Victoria Beckham, we've had Harry and Meghan, and now we get Jen and Ben. So what happened was Jennifer Lopez was inspired by a photo album. For those people who might have missed this crucial bit of news from the other side of the Atlantic, is that Jen and Ben used to be engaged back in the day, early 2000s. They split up under a wave of what they called too much press scrutiny and pressure. 3 days before their wedding, they cancelled. Wouldn't have liked to got that bill. Anyway, so 20 years later, they're back on and he has presented her with a photo album and a collection of all the correspondence, the emails, the notes, the letters he ever sent her.
Wow.
And she's so moved that did she, A, clasp it to her bosom, or did she, B, share it with her production crew and say, write me an album, here's some lyrics. Ben, not entirely impressed by this, but anyway, so the product is This Is Me Now, A Love Story, which is the album and this bizarre 1 hour length, mercifully not too long, sort of dystopian thing where she just channels inner Lara Croft and she wanders around with new songs. But I mean, really, it's showcasing the amazing athletic physique and undoubted performing skills of Jennifer Lopez, who is quite astonishing still. The more interesting counterpoint is the behind the scenes documentary. It's called The Greatest Love Story Never Told. I mean, said with a straight wow. face. Even Ben Affleck says, but you're telling it. And it really is another one of these at home with Jen and Ben. And it's very funny, not least for the fact that they clearly have such completely diverging opinions about how to present themselves to the world. Ben Affleck, if he had his way, would never see another camera apart from one he's directing with. Whereas obviously, as told, as mentioned in this podcast, Jennifer Lopez thinks that they have an extraordinary love and she wants to broadcast it to the world to inspire others to, quote, hold on to their dream. So, I mean, never the twain shall meet. Clearly, they're much in love. The fact that they've even got this far, both of these products are out. One of them is almost unwatchable, but for the fact of the documentary that goes alongside it, which explains everything. And I think she's actually a far more appealing, sympathetic character in the behind the scenes because she has trouble getting the money. Your favourite, Taylor Swift, she says no. Jane Fonda says yes, but then she says, I'm a bit worried that you're so busy sort of trying to prove something rather than just living it. Well, that's, I mean, Jane Fonda could speak to a few more people than just older Jennifer Lopez. But anyway, you get the drift. It's one of those ones to watch, possibly through your fingers, but certainly comfortably at home with a box of chocolates. And perhaps it will inspire you to, I don't know, hold on to your dreams.
Okay, I'm not sure I'm 100% going to dive into that one, but maybe a good one if you need something to fill some time on a Sunday.
I enjoyed it.
Did you?
Need you hear more. Need you anymore?
Okay, when you say you enjoy something, it does make me. It does make Niche. Me think maybe I should give it a go. We have had a letter from a dear listener, which I will read now.
Okay,
dear ladies. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Matt. I am a weekly listener to your Radio Times podcast. Thank you, thank you.
Yes.
And whilst I appreciate you cannot cover every programme on TV in the short 15-minute format, I was surprised the jury murder trial was not covered, being an undoubted mainstream production and, in my opinion, a programme being the type which you would normally cover. Maybe the length of your broadcast needs to be extended.
Regards, oh, Matt.
Matt
wants more of us. Take it to the higher powers and also increase our budget while you're there. So I thoroughly agree with you, Matt, and apologies for our oversight.
And it is
last
one
week.
That actually
we have discussed. We talked
discussed,
about it in the office,
but we haven't spoken.
That's
about
no use
on
to Matt.
Podcast. It's no use. So what we're going to do, Matt? I'm going to go away. I'm going to watch it, and I will come back next week and give you the lowdown. Because from what I have heard,
from me,
from you, from a flatmate, from a flatmate's boyfriend, it's a good watch. So I'll give it a go.
Is that your pledge?
Yes, that's my pledge to okay. you, dear Matt.
Good stuff. All right. Do we have a film of the week?
We do. So I am encouraging you this week. It's the week of the Oscars, so you have to go to the cinema. It feels only right. This is not a terrestrial recommendation. It is one for the cinemas. It is Dune Part 2. Some would say, Kellyanne, you're interested in Dune Part 1, sci-fi. Is that your normal bag? No, it's not. This is the second installment of the huge sci-fi hit. And the reason why I really enjoyed it, I could tell you about the plot, but in all honesty, the plot really is secondary to two things. The cinematography, it's incredible. It is something that is so worth watching in the seat of a cinema on a huge screen because it is just a breathtaking piece of cinematic work. On top of that, the other reason why I think it's worth seeing is because of the stars that are in it that will define Hollywood. And I think that they are going to be the reason that people are going to keep going to the cinema. And by that, I'm talking about Zendaya, Timothy Chalamet, incredible actor, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh. They are, if I had to put my money on four actors that are going to carve the way for the future of cinema, it's them. They are exceptional talents. And you're talking about a sci-fi script. It's beautifully done, but it is those four at its helm that is holding it into above and beyond. And I think the reason to go and see it.
I don't offer anything quite on that scale, but I can tell you about one from the archive. If you enjoy the Ben and Jen extravaganza that is the greatest love story never told, ooh, apart from in these two films and the album and every interview they've ever done, you might like to dive back into the Netflix archive and find Gigli, which is where they met in 2003 and co-starred as some sort of mafia rubbishy heist thing and fell in love and got engaged. Gigli is where it all started. I should warn anybody who hasn't heard of this film that it was heavily panned despite the A-list chemistry. Some might say life-changing for both of them, clearly. In the years since release, it has been considered, I get this from the internet, one of the worst films of all time, one of the most expensive box office flops ever, grossing $7.2 million against a budget of $75 million. So go in knowing that, but perhaps looking out for a love that defied the ages.
My goodness.
There you are.
What a stat to drop. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Anyway, that's all from us this week. It was an absolute pleasure. Do write in. Let us know what you're watching and let us know if we've missed anything very, very useful. You can catch us on podcast@radiotimes.com. Until next week,
happy viewing.